we have the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Now, there are two ways of looking at this Mishnah. First of all, the Mishnah that I have at home says it's Mishnah Dalet. Apparently here it's Mishnah Hay. But Perek Beis, Mishnah Hay, says Hillel Omer. Hillel used to say the following. It says, Al Tifrosh Min Tzibur. Don't separate yourself from a tzibur that's doing something. Don't take yourself away from them. Don't believe in yourself. Don't assume that everything's going to go perfectly right until the day of your death. Don't judge your friend until you reach his place. Until you are in his shoes, in his position, don't judge your friend according to that. Now, the next two lines are more of a don't say the following. Don't say don't say something that people won't exactly be able to know what you're saying. And ultimately, don't say when I have time, I'll go learn, because maybe you'll never have enough time. Those first three lines of Hillel are all connected to one another. So learn them up together. So what is it exactly? So to put it together, let's connect them. There is such a thing as good peer pressure. You normally hear the word peer pressure. When you hear those words, you think of it in more of a derogatory way, in a way that's sort of like looking down, where there's peer pressure, so therefore you got a person to do this, or peer pressure allowed a person to start smoking, peer pressure allowed a person to start drinking, etc. That's normally the way that the term is used. But the truth is, there is good peer pressure. When there's a chabura of guys who are working hard together, who are putting themselves in a good position to work together with one another, to say to each other, we're going to become something, we're going to make something of ourselves, that makes you stronger. You become way more sharp, a better person, if you have a chabura of guys that are working together for that purpose. See, my son, Ruby, came up to me and he told me, it's so funny. He says he has a group of guys. Now, Ruby is not like my other son, Ezzy. If you've heard me talk about my sons before, they are literally exact opposites of one another. Everything that Ezzy likes doing and is good at, Ruby hates. And everything that Ruby is good at and likes doing, Ezzy hates, except for soccer, which I hoped they both would hate. Turns out they both like it, and I'm very upset about that. You know, it's okay. You can run around and do nothing for an hour or two. That's fine. But regardless, when it comes to that, Ruby just told me about this group that they have in YTT in Ferris 3, where they get together and they call it the Goody Goody Club. Why? Because they just talk to each other about what they can do to do more mitzvahs. This is a fifth grader. Okay? Do more mitzvahs and to work harder, and they learn the Gemara that they're doing. They just started learning Gemara Baal Peh. This is a crazy kid. An absolute crazy kid. Now, I'm not saying that Ezzy is not that way. I'm saying that Ezzy isn't that way. I'm just saying it's a different type of style. It's not what I'm used to. But I guess that shows my tremendous parenting in some way, shape, or form. But that's the way it is. See, when you have that group, you're building each other up. Even if you have a bad day, somebody else is there to be able to build you up and say, no, don't worry. You just had a bad day. Tomorrow you're going to go get them. You have somebody growing on you that helps you along during those, what they call the Yemei Sinner, the days where everything's there. They're pushing you forward. That's the idea behind it. So if you take yourself away from that Chabura, if you're Porish Minat Sibur, Sibur people that are working together, working hard, pushing themselves together to go somewhere, to become something, you take yourself away from that, simply put, you're going to find yourself at best doing something else that may not be as good, and at worst, you could come to cause yourself to be in the wrong position, where not only are you not succeeding, but you're failing miserably. Taking yourself away from those people, this is what ends up happening. In that sense, when you're porish, you really can't trust yourself until you die. Because you might have good reasons, and maybe you'll say to yourself, you know what, I just don't like this guy anymore. Maybe it's, that guy annoys me, or there's something else that's there, but as soon as you leave that kabura, you're setting yourself up for failure. It's not a guarantee. It's something that's sitting there and think, listen, this is the likelihood. You're going to sit there and you're going to say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. So that leads to the next line, that if you are Porish Min HaTzibur, then Al Tamin Ba'atzmah Ad Yom Mosecha. You can't trust yourself. The Gemara of Brachos brings us down Kaf Tetzaleh Aleph and says, Al Tifrosh Al Tamin Ba'atzmah Ad Yom Mosecha. For example, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. This is the example that's given all over. The Gemara says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol may have even been Yanai HaMelech. Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shimish Bekuna Gidola B'Shmonim Shana. He was a coin gobbler. Just consider this for a second. He was a coin gobbler for 80 years. 80 years. He didn't become coin gobbler when he was 20. You become coin gobbler when you're a little bit older. Let's give him 30 years old. He's 30 years old and he was serving for 80 years. He's 110. He's 110. And what happened to him? Well, in the end, he became a tzaduki. A tzaduki is a person who doesn't believe in Torah Shebaalpeh. He only believes there's such a thing as Torah Shebaktav. The definition of a tzaduki is a person who is poresh min hatzibur. They are poresh from the prushim, from the people that put themselves in a different position and were big tzaddikim. The tzaddikim took themselves away. And it even came from the names. Tzaddikim called themselves the tzaddikim. The prushim called themselves the poreshim. From that, but it was really the opposite. The people were always doing the laws. The people were always there. They were the ones who were called the Prushim. The Tzedukim separated from them and allowed themselves to be somewhere else. That's what ended up happening. The difference between the two. It's amazing. Amazing what happened. He became a Tzeduki and a Kofer in Torah Shebaalpeh for however long he lived, maybe a year until he died. What's pshat? So I'll tell you what pshat is. It's not so hard to understand. I don't want to say this out some medrash and say, like, here's pshat, and this is what the medrash says. There is no medrash on what happened to Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Not that I've seen. There's no Maimer Chazal that explains what happened to Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There is no Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You should know there's no Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Kedoshim that says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol ate things that were not kosher and that allowed him to think the wrong thoughts in his head. That's an Or HaChaim HaKadosh. But otherwise, we don't see a Maimer that tells us something about this, but I think it could be understood. If the Mishnah puts both of these together, and this is what Hillel is talking about, the Midi Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the following. He was a great man. One of the greatest. It's possible that he was even Kohen Gadol around the times of Hillel. But he was so much older than everybody else. And he'd been serving as the Kohen Gadol for so long, 80 years, that he looked at everyone else and he said, "You guys are nothing to me. You mean absolutely nothing. You little young ones, you guys are sitting here and you're thinking there's this and that and the other. That, you're all wrong. I've been here for 80 years. I decide what's up." And when people didn't want to listen to him because he sounded like an old man who was just, angry and upset at everybody else, he didn't sound like he was a gadol saying things. So people started saying, like, whatever, but that's not the way. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was poresh from the rest of the tzibur. And he said, "Well, I'm going to do my own thing then." And doing your own thing, says the Gemara, if you're poresh from a tzibur, and you're the Kohen Gadol, and you're poresh from them, and you decide to do your own thing, look at what can happen to you. This is what can happen to you. You can become a tzeduki. A tzeduki, after being a Kohen Gadol for so long. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the way to understand it is, it doesn't matter how great you are. Part of the reason why you're so great and part of the reason why you are the person that you are is because you're working together with other people that are tzaddikim. Other people that are doing the right thing, chassidim. And when you're working together with other people, you're building yourself up. You can become someone or something very, very great. And as soon as you leave that group, that's when you see your real colors. And that's when it becomes harder and more difficult, because that's the Yetzer Hara, says the Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is sitting there the whole time and trying to get you away from your good friends and making you hang out with your bad friends. And everyone has this. Everyone has the friends that they have that are good friends, that are helping them grow, that are making them into the people that they are. And then other friends, not so good friends, that are making them into people that they shouldn't be. There are people that you know, that you really, the more you hang out with them, the worse kind of a person you become. The Satan's job is to put you on those people, take you away from the people that are the right kind of people for you. You're in a room with a person who's a tzaddik. The guy's waking up for chakras every day, going to Minchan Marav every day, going to every Seder without fail, making sure that he's in the right position and succeeding. Your Yetzer Hara is yelling at you, no, don't be with that guy, be with that guy. You want to hang out with this guy. Because if you're with that guy, you're going to end up being like him. You don't really want to be like him, right? You really want to be a guy who's going to chakras and come out of every single day and going to every single theater? Go hang out with that guy. That guy's cool. He watches things on the computer that you know you would never watch. That's the coolest guy out there. That's what the Satan does. And he sits there and he convinces you, this guy is so much better for me. You know why he's better for me? Because he's going to get me more motivated. I'm going to be able to affect him so well. I'm going to be able to be that guy. I'm going to change everything about him. I'll do it. I'm going to do it on my own. I'll be first. Don't be partial to Tibor. It's not going to happen. You know, Lot also had a great idea. I'll go away from Avram Avinu. And I know Avram Avinu is my Rebbe and everything, but I'll go away. I'm going to go to Sodom, and I'm going to convince the people of Sodom that they're doing the wrong thing, and I'm going to change the entire city. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to make everything better. I'm going to do it, said Lot. And he was Poresh Atzmo min Hatzibur. What happened? Sodom was destroyed. He barely got out with life. He lost his wife. He lost two of his kids. He lost everything he had, all of his money, everything that sent him to Sodom in the first place. Because Lot had an idea, and he was wrong. He was Poresh Atzmo min Hatzibur. He was Tamin Ba'atzmo, and he shouldn't have. Shouldn't have been Poresh. Shouldn't have been Tamin Ba'atzmo Mosef. And look what happened to him. He lost everything. There's no greater lesson than the lesson of Lot to understand this concept of what the stuff that makes you believe in yourself and what it makes you think about yourself until you finally become that Siddiqui, the guy who's sitting at the gates of Sodom to become a judge of Sodom. What a big kunst to be a judge of Sodom. Gemara Sanhedrin tells us what the judges of Sodom did. The judges of Sodom, when they saw a guy who was sitting there and he had one ox and another guy who had two oxen, so the guy who had one ox had to watch the three oxen for 2 days. Well, the guy who had two oxen had to watch the oxen for 1 day. What a kunst to be a judge in Sodom. That if you punch somebody and you cause them to bleed, so what happens? The person who got punched has to pay the puncher the amount of money that it takes to cause bloodletting. He was a doctor, the puncher. He can't show him to say such a thing. The Gemara brings down that if you were together with a married woman, right? You're together with a married woman, and then you go ahead, no, I'm sorry, it's the opposite. If you're together with your wife, and a guy punches her and causes the woman to miscarry, and the woman loses the baby, so they give the wife to that guy until he impregnates her, and he brings a baby back. That's the judge of Sodom. Way to go, Lot. You really got your heart's desire. You got a real good job there. What a sellout. What an unbelievable. This is the place for Lot to be. But that's it. That's what Lot thought. He was Poresh Atzmo min Hatzibur. This is what he became. And that's that. It's amazing. It's amazing. But a chabura, getting a group of guys together, group of guys that are trying to work on each other, that are trying to work hard, that are whatever it is, I don't understand. There's no question. I'm really asking this of more the second year guys that are here, more than I am of the first year guys that are in yeshiva. But why is this not happening? Why is there not a chabura of guys that are getting together once a week to discuss how they can become better people? Whether it has to do with their learning, with davening, how to get people to get up, how to work on people. It's not that first year people can't be invited. It's that if you're already in yeshiva for 2 years, shouldn't it be that you're a level above this already? Shouldn't it be that you're trying to influence the person who's not yet in yeshiva for 2 years? Shouldn't it be that way? Why is there no connection? Why is there no chabura that's happening? Instead, it's sort of like piecemeal. And you're asking me, or Rabbi Sheinfeld, or Rabbi Sussman, or Rabbi Friedman, to do everything on their own. Why isn't it happening? Why are people not taking initiative? Why not stand up and say, I want to make a chabura. I want to become a better person. I want to be able to do this. The reason why this is so important is because, really, the third point over here, which we haven't gotten to. Al Tadin is Chavir Kachat Yilim Koma. We have our issues with people. We think to ourselves, well, I'm annoyed by that person, or I think this guy's a show-off, or I think this guy is whatever it is. And the truth is, we have no idea what the person's like, and we never will until we get to his place and we recognize where this guy is coming from and what he's been doing. There's no way to fully figure it out. But I think it goes a little bit deeper, and it has to do with a lot. When you are Poresh Atzmo min Hatzibur, and you're gone from the chabura, and you start thinking that you know better, and that you're going to do everything on your own, and you're going to take care of yourself, you're going to come out with two crazy situations that have happened over the past few months, and possibly a third that happened within the last couple of years. So I don't know how much you've been involved in what's going on news-wise. I don't know if you guys read Buses Nice. You shouldn't, but if you do, right, to get involved with what's going on. And I don't even know how much of this has been reported by that type of news sources. But there was a rabbi who was working in seminaries in Eretz Yisrael, who owned the seminaries, was taking advantage of seminary girls. And it didn't happen just once. It didn't happen twice. It happened many, many times. Allegedly. I'm going to say allegedly because it hasn't gone to court and they haven't been convicted. But this is a very hard thing to convict. All the women are technically over the age of 18. And the guy would take advantage, and what the word is that the guy would take advantage of the girls that were from the types of families where he could take advantage of them, and he would tell them that he was their tati, and that you're allowed to hug your father, you're allowed to kiss your father, those are the things that you're allowed to do. And a person took advantage of a situation that never should have happened. There is a rabbi who was a rabbi in a modern Orthodox community in Washington. And this rabbi was in charge of not only the men's side of the mikvah, but also the women's side of the mikvah. And this rabbi set up cameras throughout the mikvah with alarm clocks, cameras hidden in alarm clocks, cameras hidden in pens, cameras hidden in clocks, all over the mikvah. And then he would watch the videos. When the FBI finally raided, when they figured out what he was doing, they went through, they found tapes. Hundreds and hundreds of tapes, things all the way through, that unfortunately was not only damaging to the person, but it was destructive to the whole community. The whole community, those who kept Hilchos Nisa, now felt that not only had they been betrayed, you're being watched the lines of the people that are coming out there, I'm never going to the mikvah again. How do I know that somebody's not watching me if I go to the mikvah? It's an unbelievable thing. Those two situations, and then unfortunately a third, a rabbi who was known for looking at maros, Hilchos maros, which is when a woman has nida and sodding and whatever it is, certain things of blood, there was a rav who would only see the woman and not her husband, and only in his private room and nowhere else. He would make sure that it was inside a private room, and while he was there, he would make the woman undress and explain to him where exactly the blood was found. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that a person could think of doing such a thing. All these three people were rabbis. And all three were in very, very different stages. One was if you want to describe it, one was American Haredi, the other one was Haredi, the other one was modern Orthodox. Three very different styles. And I'm not saying daka that every part of Judaism has this. And you know what the end all goal is? If a solution to one of these problems is no rabbis should be working in seminaries, which I've never in my life understood why there have to be rabbis involved. Never understood it. To be like a post-take on the side. I have never understood it for the life of me. That's a way of answering up a little bit of the shiloh. Another way of answering up a little bit of the shiloh is having a rabbi that's not in charge of the mikvah, a woman in charge of the mikvah, instead of a man in charge of the mikvah. Those are easy things to be able to take care of little problems. Never happen. But it's so simple. The simple answer is, Al tamim ba'atman yom osechah. Don't trust yourself until the day of your death when it comes to everything. You all have the internet on your phones. You all have the internet on your computer. Very few of you have webcam, which I don't understand for the life of me. Very few of you have filters on your computer. You can't trust yourself. You absolutely can't. There is no one here, including myself, who can trust themselves with a phone at night by themselves. No one. There is nothing you can do to get around it. It's not even hard. It's not even difficult. Anything in the world, just a simple Google images, and you can get anything you want. The greatest amount of tumah. And it doesn't leave your head ever. No matter what you do, you will never be able to burn it off your hard drive. It is there forever. You cannot trust yourself. In a way, and I'm saying this in a very lahavdil, in a way, the same issue that plagued those three rabbis is the exact same issue that is plaguing you every single day. And there's no way to get out of it. Because I'll be honest, the internet's here to stay. There's no way we're getting rid of it. And it's only getting worse. Getting easier and easier to access more and more. And the more they come out with NetNanny and WebCover and all these little things that they use to be able to protect yourself, the more everyone here will have the ability to get around all those little things. Get around everything. There was a guy who was on WebCover with me. I was his WebCover, and I would look at his stuff and I'd say to him, like, oh my gosh, what did you just go on? And I showed him the things that were up on my WebCover, and the guy's like, oh no, this must have just been pop-ups. Like, I'm pretty sure they're not pop-ups. This is pretty explicit. But no, they were just pop-ups. And he was seeing these pop-ups 30 or 40 times a week. And he couldn't, there was no admission. Absolutely nothing. To me, it was, No, must have been something else, because I didn't see it. But a Westcover means absolutely nothing. If you want to get around it, you can get around whatever you want. You cannot trust yourself. I don't go to sleep. I don't bring my phone or my computer anywhere near my bed when I go to sleep at night. I'm married. My wife is in the room where I'm sleeping. I don't bring my phone or my computer anywhere near my bed when I go to sleep. I know I have to plug it in. I get a separate alarm clock. They still sell them at Walmart. They're $3.50. I do not need my phone. And I put my phone on the other side of the room. When I was in yeshiva, my phone, even though I didn't have any internet capabilities, I didn't want to get phone calls at night. So I plugged in my phone on the other side of the room. What a occurrence. Unbelievable. How'd I figure that one out? It's unbelievable. There is no reason, absolutely no reason whatsoever, why you should have your phone anywhere near you when you're going to sleep. Nowhere. Nowhere near you. There is no excuse. There's no excuse. First of all, there's no excuse to ever happen in the base matters, but we'll get around that for a second. Let's just say that we need it because we're addicted. Fine. We'll deal with that. There's no reason for these things to be there. None. And it only gets worse. Because if you're failing now, it's not going to get any better. Marriage is not a solution. Marriage is part of the problem half the time. It's an issue when you get into things like this. And you have to think to yourself, what can I do? Yes, hilchos yichud are unbelievably important. Hilchos yichud that a rabbi in a seminary should never, ever be in the same room as a girl for more than 10 minutes at a time. That's one thing. And that a rabbi should never be in a mikvah without someone else there watching him every single minute of the time. That's definitely true. There's no reason for a rabbi who's paskening on Shilohs to be able to have a girl in his room for 10 minutes. Of course, hilchos yichud is important. There is hilchos yichud by phones. There is hilchos yichud by any computer. There is 100%, and I don't care that your roommate is in the next bed. Hilchos yichud is right there because he can't see what you're watching. You have to be more careful than this. And I don't know what the solution is. I wish I knew what the solution is. The solution is not make me your web copper, because you can get around it. The issue is not put a filter on your phone or put a filter on your computer. You can get around the filters. That's not the issue. And there are certain things that are never going to come up on the computers, and it's never going to come up on the filter, and you're just going to be able to get around it. And certain things, the filter doesn't become a problem. The filter will say to yourself, yeah, that's normal to have women in bathing suits. Isn't that normal? That's perfectly normal. That's what everybody should watch. The filters don't even see it as an issue. And they're not going to block it. I don't know what the solution is. But have a chabura. Work on it together. I'm asking you guys to think together. Speak to one another. Tell each other. Let's build ourselves up. Let's say to ourselves, if I maybe failed one time, it doesn't have to be like an AA meeting. Hi, I'm Caesar and I'm a recovering alcoholic and I did this and that and the other. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm saying to get everyone together, put yourselves in a room, sit around the table and say to yourselves, what are we going to do to make this better? Have you and your roommate decide you're having your phones, your computers on the other side of the room. That if you're going to work on your computer at your desk at night, the computer should be in place in a position where your friend, your roommate, can see it from wherever he is. That even if he's asleep, he can look up and he can watch what you're watching. Whatever it is, instead of sitting there with the screen blocked on your lap while you're sitting there, come up with something. Come up with a SIBA, come up with anything. But the issue which we have today, allowing, it's crazy to have a yeshiva, a place where people are learning and growing, where I have no idea what you watched last night. I have no idea what your eyes have seen. How the heck are you supposed to learn up a Gemara and understand what Tosis is saying when all you can see is the picture of the woman that you saw in something last night? How is that possible? How is that possible? You have an image of an unclothed woman right in front of your eyes. And you're like, oh my Rava. How is that supposed to happen? Of course you can't concentrate. Of course you have no ability to find any sipuk and nefesh in your learning. What do you expect? This is what you're watching. Your eyes are fried. They're literally fried. They're destroyed. And you're sitting there the whole time. You watch TV shows. I cannot believe how much time is wasted on these TV shows. If you watch a season of TV shows, what do you think you're going to be thinking about? And you're going there and you're trying to figure out what's Pshat and Rashi. Oh man, that was good. I can't believe he was the killer. Can't believe it.
unbelievable.
And it sits in your head. What do you think? You have that couple seconds. You're able to concentrate so hard.
So there's a guy by the name of George, and he's sitting there, and he owns a liquor shop, and he has a bunch of people coming around, and he sits there, and he says to himself, I wish that I had a girlfriend, and that girlfriend ended up coming by.
Is that your Shimon Esrei? Because isn't that everybody's Shimon Esrei?
You know what I'm saying? You take your Mogen, you take your three steps back, and then it's all done. And you go back, and you're just like, did I say Yalav Yavo?
Did I have to say Yalav Yavo? Was there a requirement?
There's nothing to talk about. There isn't. There's no ability.
A Chabura can make up for this.
You need a Chabura. You need a Chavra.
And it needs to be from those that are here. Those that can help. Those that can work on other people. There will be impressions made, but if people are together, it's going to stop you. Maybe it won't stop you every time, but it will stop you once every two times, once every three times. Maybe more. I don't know. Who knows? But the time when you want to go on, you're just like, you know what? I shouldn't. Because I wouldn't want to do that. I'm part of this Chabura. I'm trying to work together. I'm trying to be try-hard. So I'm asking you. You don't need a vod from me. You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to tell you. You know what it is. Now you need a vod from yourselves. You need to sit there and say to yourselves, what should we do? How can we work on it? And don't expect your learning to trump all. Your learning will not trump all. This is going to trump your learning. This is going to affect the rest of your lives. It has to be fixed. And if it's not fixed completely, fine. Work on it a little bit. And try to make sure that every other night you put your phone away. Every other night you put your computer away. But it has to eventually lead to the point where you do not need your phone or your computer anywhere near you. You do not need unlimited access to the internet. And if you have the ability to call up your internet provider and to say on your computer or on your phone and say, I only want 200 megabytes a month. Now granted, okay, you won't be able to look up things in the middle of Shir. That's going to be difficult, right? But if you only say, I only want that amount, and Wi-Fi, I guess, if you can't get around Wi-Fi, you know, if you get that, it's so much better. Tell me, I can't do anything on my phone. It's good. I get SportsCenter, I can see scores. That's about it. Eventually, there will be off as well. To have any more than that is unnecessary. Unnecessary and completely damaging. So think about it. Consider what you can do. Work together as a group. Because that's what we're here for. We're not a base medrash with about 25 guys just sitting around on their own doing their individual thing. We are a base medrash of a chabura of people that are trying to become better people. So work together to become better people. You can do it. I've seen people do this before. And I believe in you. But I want you to become these gedolim. These gedolim we spoke about last week. And the only way to do it is to do something right now. Have a good day.